This is November 28th, and the next meeting will be on December 19th, 1993, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, good morning, my friends. I'm pleased to see you, and good, let's have some good informality this morning. Before we begin the questions, however, I would just like to make reference to one thing that we have pointed to in the past but needs to be reminded in the psyche, because the trouble is that your psyches are very busy. They have a lot to do because they have to keep your world together, and it's very difficult to keep your world together. You know, it's an all-day, all-night job. And since you don't trust any other part of yourself except the ego to do anything for you, you are really in a bad situation, because now you have to be alert at all times, and this puts a lot of stress on the psyche, meaning that it doesn't leave you a lot of time for things like love and awareness and total knowing of who you are. But as you begin to understand one basic principle and make it an aliveness for you, I think things will be easier, and this is this. We have told you before, we need to say again, that the concept of how you were created is not that one moment God or awareness or whatever exploded all of these particles and hurled you out into the infinite mystery of who knows what, said, have a wonderful series of incarnations, darling, and I'll see you when you get home, you know? But this is the kind of idea that one gets that the ego relationship to the source often comes up with. Now, the truth of the situation is much more intimate and, I hope, much more interesting for you, and it is this. Please remember as often as you can in every moment that thy dynamic, alive God creation principle is creating this moment. It is not a creation made a long time ago, and now you are just moving through all of the paces. Do you understand the difference? The idea that somehow you were hurled into a series of lifetimes, and then the Buddha says, well, 2,000 is minimum, and here you are, and you can't even remember one other, and, you know, does that mean you have 1,999 out there, or hopefully are there any behind you? All this kind of confusion begins to arise, and often it comes out of the forgetfulness. So this is a remembrance, and it isn't some kind of, I have to remember God, I have to remember, oh God, I've got to remember God, and wringing of the hands and all of this. It is not that way. What it is, please, I hope, is a relaxation into the, thank God. Thank God there is God. Thank God there is God. Thank you. Thank you. The ongoing relaxation into and the knowing that in this very moment, your action, your seeing, your speech, your breathing, your hearing, your moving, all that you think and all that you do is motivated and propelled by and absolutely filled with the source that started you on this. Meaning that at any time, you can sweetly and gently drop out of your remembered memory of, how do I do this? You know that you live your lives like that? Holding on, how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do this? I have to remember how to do this. Because you have this illusion that you are really doing it. Do you remember our story about the little one in the back seat of the car with his little plastic driving wheel? And he's in the back seat, and every time the car moves to the left, he moves to the left, and he's to the right, and he says, oh, I'm doing this. I am doing this. Totally forgetful of the fact that there is something magnificently other in the front seat that has much vaster vision, that is in actuality seeing and doing what is being done. And then if you want to really get excited about it, let us contemplate the engine that is driving this automobile. And the little one, of course, has some sense of, well, I did it. I certainly did it. Well, our question for you is, are you doing it? Are you in actuality capable of doing all of the things that your ego is manifesting and pretending to do? For example, ladies and gentlemen, do you know how to dream? Do you know how to create a dream? Well, I'm going to go to bed tonight. I'm going to have 6 dreams. The first one will be about this, the second about this, the third. Is that what you do? And then let's talk about that really mysterious thing, which is deep sleep. Ah, tonight I'm going to fall into deep sleep where all name and form cease to be, when the little I as I manifest and pretend to be is dissolved and finished. All of my pains and sorrows, my joys, my expectations, my money, my employment, my automobile that doesn't run, all simply fades. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to move from a state of ego action to a state of total, blissful lack of ego awareness? Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to breathe? Do you know how to breathe yourself? Do you know how to move the wind that moves the trees? Do you know how to move the water that creates the waves? Do you know how to do any of this? Or do we have to fall to a place of ego, which is very difficult, which is the I don't know? That total, wonderful humility that comes out of awareness that says, I don't know. I just don't know. I have no intimate knowing, yet things get done. I don't know how to do it, but doing is done. That wonderful line that's very famous, which is, there's nothing to do, so do it. There's nothing to do, so do it. To begin to fall deeper and deeper into the remembrance of your own ignorance, your own lack of ability to manipulate and maneuver and make things happen as you will them to happen. And as you begin to fall back into humility, you begin to be aware of arrogance. And I don't mean some kind of arrogance of stature in the world, because I think most of you have overcome much of that. I'm speaking of that arrogance that says, I can do this. I can do this. Just watch. I can do this. Well, just watch. Can you do this? Are you doing it? Or is it really the time to get intimately in touch with and aware of what you cannot do? And as you begin to take your attention off of what you cannot do, you begin to realize more and more how much is being done. I have said this before, but we need to bring it up again. Just the very simplest thing, which is the ability to see. You say, I see. And we would like to suggest that without an incredibly complicated series of events, beginning with the sun itself, you could not see a thing. It is when the sun is present that seeing is present, and then this always marvelous series of events of rays hitting the earth and then hitting the physical body and then moving deeply within the cranium and igniting images that you then say, I see. When you watch with all of that sweet, excited openness of wanting to be aware and not wanting to do, then you begin to relax into the magnificence of what is always happening. Endlessly, my friends, again and again, you will become aware, not of your smallness, because it isn't an exercise in making you all into worms crawling on this planet, but rather to be aligned with the magnificent camaraderie, if we could call it this way, this mutuality of wonder, my friend. The mutuality of wonder that goes on. My pleasure. She's very embarrassed. My pleasure. All of this remembrance instead of making you feel less, it will explode you into a feeling of magnificent gratitude of this is what is going on. It is not this, it is that. It isn't small, it is vast. And the vastness of being begins to present itself. When you take your awareness off of, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Do you know that feeling? An expert walks in and says, may I show you? You say, no, I can do it, I can do it. The expert is always present. The expert of being, the expert, if we could put it this way, the one that knows, the one that is in constant awareness of all of it, is constantly present. And what is your part of this magnificence? It is very simple. Your part of the magnificence is to become that sweetly excited, humble watcher of the process and begin to ask, how much of this am I really doing? And how much of it is totally beyond my ways of knowing how to do? And as you move closer and closer, you begin to relax deeper and deeper. And then you get to those words that are very difficult for many people, which is you come to the surrender. And instead of surrendering this way, all right, I surrender, which is no surrender at all, it's a giving up. It's that wondrous, sweet letting go of I totally surrender because I know not what I am doing. I don't have any idea of what I am doing, of where I am going, of why I am here, of who or what started this whole process, of how to become happy in the midst of all of this. I don't have any idea. And the clue is in that word, I don't have any idea. Because you see, my friends, you have created a series of ideas. And these ideas are the very thing that keep you from your happiness. Because the idea says, well, my mother said, if I did this and this and this, I would be happy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, has it worked? And then, of course, she says, now, if you don't do this and this and this, then you will be happy. And that hasn't worked either. The fact remains is you do not know how to be happy, how to sustain happiness, how to create this manifestly wondrous state of happiness. How are you going to do it? Well, first of all, you begin to accumulate things. You realize that's very expensive and doesn't get me very far. And then the next thing is, oh, I know, I will accumulate people and relationships. And that, you know how very peaceful all of that always is. Yes, yes, yes. And then you say, no, no, people don't work. I know, I will create ideas. I will become an idea creator, and that will make me very content. And in the creation of ideas, you find that as soon as you know exactly what's going on, someone comes up to you and says, you don't know a thing about what you're talking about. And presents you with confusion and conundrums that just make you unhappy yet again. So we're asking for you to become aware of the not knowing of what will make you happy. The not knowing, and as you begin, it's a very simple process, my friends, but if you just get a close, intimate relationship with it, then it will carry you. Because realize, all of this is, on one hand, very funny. Because your yearning for God is God's yearning for God. May I say this again? Your yearning for God is God's yearning for God. So when the yearning is present, it isn't some wonderful golden part of your ego that stands up and says, I want God, I want God. It is the God itself that is calling the God into intimacy. And if you don't understand that, that's good. I don't want you to understand that. I want you to be at least intrigued by the idea that your yearning, your desperate yearning, which is really what we want, is for you to be desperately yearning to understand or to feel total love of God or the reality of God or however you want. It is that very yearning that we are asking you to cultivate to the extent that you do that more than you do anything else at all. And when you begin to realize what you don't know and how incredibly helpless you really are, instead of being agitated and aggravated as a little child is when it finds out that it can't walk, you begin to relax into the wonderful intimacy of then turning to that that does know. And I want to assure you with all of being that there is an absolutely, magnificently overwhelming part of awareness, in fact, all of awareness, that knows exactly what will make you happy. And you need to relax into it because you don't know. You have been following the carrots of all of your ideas and beliefs and suppositions and stories told to you, but you don't know. Unless you are now in the state of full bliss, then why aren't you at home in your bed enjoying breakfast instead of here this morning? I am assuming you are here because you are not as bliss-filled as you would like to be. That's the only reason to bother to come. And what is the answer? The answer is the admission, moment by moment by moment, the awakening of, please understand this word, the awakening of your ignorance. The awakening of your ignorance brings about the chance for your awakening into the reality. And the more you think you know, the further away from it you get. Because knowing usually implies my body knows, my mind knows, my ego knows, my thoughts know, and that is not knowing. That is something quite different. And the wonderful, sweet relaxation into ignorance is the most energizing thing that you can do. Most of you spend your time, thank you very much. Many of you spend much of your time trying to support your wisdom, your intelligence, your creative wonder, your I know that, your yes, I've always known that. Oh yes, let me tell you, I know that. Well, all of a sudden, when you begin to stop trying so hard to be the know-it-all of the universe, you begin to relax into the I don't have any idea, and you begin to have a tremendous amount of friends around you because they are very grateful that someone in this whole place is admitting the truth, which is that you don't know. You have limited knowledge of a limited universe which will die. And there is no truth in a limited universe that dies. Anything that is born, lives, and dies does not reflect the truth of consciousness, which is constant and never varies. So anything that you see or hear or think is a partial presentation of an ego idea, and it does not reflect truth. Truth is reflected to you in the quiet of the I don't know. You find truth when you stop trying to know. You find truth when you stop trying. When you just become aware of what we have been yelling at you all these years, which is to relax into the silence of the moment and stop thinking and just allow whatever is present to show itself, and it will. But if you continuously go around telling it what it is, I know what is, then you will begin and continue to see your projection reflected back to you. But when you begin to fall into the I don't know, show me. I don't know who you are, God. I don't know how to find you. I don't know what you look like. I don't know what you like. I don't know what you don't like. I don't know what you will. I don't know what you think. I don't know anything. Teach me. In the silence of my moment, teach me, because I can't find you. I have looked everywhere. I have looked in every path. I have looked in every place. I have looked on every page. I have gone to every teacher. I have done it all, and I cannot find you. I cannot find you. So, you have to show me, because I can no longer think of any place else to look. Please, show me. And in that moment to moment, dropping into show me what is, show me who I am, show me you, in that dropping in moment after moment, things begin to clarify. And of course, you will find as you experiment on this, that you can only do it for a few moments and then thought comes in So it has to be a constant returning back to the I don't know, please show me place. And you begin to do it more and more moments of every 15 minutes. It becomes a way of being in the midst of doing. And as you become aware of being in the midst of doing, you find something miraculous, which is the doing gets done without you doing it. The doing gets done without you doing it. And in that wondrous knowing, you realize, like the awakened child in the back seat of the car, you can let go of the steering wheel and enjoy the view. You are not in charge of what is placed in your life and in your world and in your mind. There is something far more magnificently wondrous, dynamic, and accountable, and trustworthy, and compassionate, and all-seeing, and all-knowing than that which you are relying on at this time. And the relentless pursuit of ideas and thoughts to generate peace and love and happiness are going to fail, because you cannot think yourself into love. You cannot think and read yourself into knowing of the God Self. It is impossible, because the mind itself is illusory. It rises and falls. If you doubt me, then just pay attention to your own mind, and you will realize that all it is a great big bunch of ever-changing thoughts. And if that is God, you're in for some trouble. If God is just your ever-changing thoughts, then it is not worth pursuing. So we have to come to the knowing of the don't know, and realizing that in the thinking, it will not make it so. You cannot think yourself to the place of the no being. You can only shut up and sit down in the moment. And I do not mean to renounce your world of action. I do not mean that. All that often does is to feed the ego and to make other people responsible for your bills. And that is not what is meant by renunciation. Renunciation means renouncing the idea that you know what you're doing, being willing to allow what is doing it anyway to do it clearly, directly, intimately, and perfectly, and to begin to enjoy the view. And what do we mean by enjoying the view? We mean precisely to begin to get to drop out of the confusion and chaos and relentless ego pursuit of trying to do it yourself into the total bliss and wonder of being doing, of being that is doing, or being that is not doing, but that being is as it is. And when you drop into that wondrous space, then you begin to really be who you have always been. And at the beginning, it does seem to be two. There is you enjoying being. There is you enjoying God. And then you become the lover of God inside, not outside, ever outside, inside. And as you begin to be the lover of that, then in one moment, as that part of self that is pretending to be the seeker keeps on looking at the part of self that it says is the knower, one moment they blend and there is just one thing. In fact, there is not even one thing, there is nothing. But let's not worry about that till we get there. But the process is simple. It begins and ends with allowing the humility to come in and relax the situation. We have told you for years that it's through relaxation that you come to knowing. And you have to begin to relax this fixation that the ego can fix it, that the ego is doing it, that the ego knows what it's doing, because it doesn't. The ego is constructed on the win-lose system. And each of you has an ego that wants to win and doesn't want to lose. But the problem is, your system is so constructed that you will win and you will lose. That is the movement of an ego-based creation. So continue to do that, or continue to watch and be ever wondering and ever aware of the endless miracle of, I don't have any idea of how I'm doing this. Do you know how you think? Where do your thoughts come from? You know, even the great scientists, the to study all the gray matter in the brain. They keep saying, well, there's something here. We know a lot of it, but there's something here that we don't quite know what's... How does it all start? You know, what jump starts this whole system in the first place? Where is that jump start mechanism that starts the entire process? What is really happening? So in the humility of the entire planet, including all of the knowers, to get to the we don't know, then things, truth, if I could use it with a capital T, can begin to reveal itself to all of you. I would like to repeat again that those of you who have been struggling and working with this for many, many years, what has happened is, we've talked about this before, what has happened is that if you are really determined to know, if you are really determined to find the God that you have been seeking, if you are really determined to awaken to the truth of you, this is the time to do it. More of you are going to spontaneously combust into knowing in the next 10 years than has happened in the last 10,000. You are in exactly the right place, in exactly the right time, and what is the only criteria is that you figure out that you can't figure it out. Someone says, why all these paths? Why all these paths? All of the paths come to show you that they don't work. Don't you remember? We started out this way. Keep on trying. Keep on working. Do this. People say, don't you worry when people leave the Bartholomew teaching? And I laugh and I laugh. Please, I want everybody to leave the Bartholomew teaching. That's the point, is to get it and get out of here. To get it. What is this it? This knowing that comes in a spontaneous motion. Many of you are doing many, many things. You're trying here and you're trying there and you do the diet and you do this and you do and do and fine. And what is the end result of all the doing? Is the finding out one day, good grief, it's not working. I have tried and tried and tried. Then the mind says, oh, but there's another path. Oh, somebody new has just come. And of course, if they came from a way far away, they're even better. You know, you know, if they come from the Himalayas, you know, in a great cave, or maybe they come from Afghanistan in a newly discovered town. I don't know what. Someplace, someplace. And so they come and you learn and you learn. And then one day you awaken and you've given yourself totally to it and you say, you probably say some extraordinarily powerful swear words and say some of those great mantras of human consciousness. And you say, it's not working. It's not working. I've done it all. I've done it all. I have been the most devout whatever. I've followed whatever to the extent that I understand it fully, and I'm still stupid. I still don't know. My mind is full. I can give great dialogues and diatribes and I can, you know, become very compelling, but I don't know anything, meaning my heart is still empty and lonely and I have not come home. We said this to you the first time we met and we will probably say it the last time we met. You have to realize it is right here, right now. It has never been anywhere else. This is it. There will never be any more it than there is now. And if that is true, if there is no more it and you cannot do anything to achieve this it, then what are you going to do? There's nothing left to do except to admit that you can't do it. The great humbling shout of, I don't have the foggiest notion how to do this. And I'm tired of listening to windbags on Sunday morning. Each one of you will get to that moment in your own day and time. And I am saying, don't waste time. You don't know what's going to happen to you. I've told you before, you could walk out here and get run over by a truck. You don't know. The auspicious time is here and now, so let's do it. And what do? You stop doing. You stop trying. You just begin to listen to Ramana, who stated the only impediment to full enlightenment is the belief that you are not now fully enlightened. I've been screaming it for how many years now? We're getting very windy. How many is it? 15? 15 years next month. Oh, you're very patient. Stop being patient. Stop being patient and stop expecting anything other than your own moment. This is the moment. Do it. If you don't want to do it, then keep on trying. And then try some more, and then try some more, and then try some more. And then the biggest carrot is, well, that's all right. When I die, I'll get it. Well, maybe you will, and maybe you won't. But don't count on it. Now is it? Now is the moment of the let go into the it. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. And no amount of struggle. And I want you to begin to struggle with this absurdity that you can't get it by struggling, because you're going to get mad. You're going to say, well, then how about all these years I've been doing this and giving up tithing to my church and all this thing and what's happening in my meditations, and I hope you get very angry. I hope you get so angry that you get enlightened, that you get so upset that it evokes in you a pulsation of I've got to know because I can't figure it out. You know, many years ago, many, many years ago, Mary Margaret had this awareness and this puzzlement, and she hurled, she was following one of her many paths at that time. At that time, it was Yogananda, of self-realization, and the instructions came that what she needed in order to do this particular meditation was that she had to learn to put her hands on her chin and to put her hands over her eyes in some way, and this would create some kind of a circuitry that would awaken the third eye. And then the bottom line was, well, if it's difficult to do on your table, we have some armrests for sale at the center make this more useful for you. It's $9.95 or something. And as she was doing it, of course, she became very aware that, do you remember when you were a child, you were into the Air Junior Birdman? And all of a sudden, the rage rose and hurled the book and screamed, if I want God and God wants me, then what's the problem? Well, she's still screaming, only a lot less. And she's getting it. Aren't you all glad? You're all getting it. Not just all of you. Yes, all of you. You're all getting it. And one of these days when we get out of here, when we're gone, I hope you all get it either that day or the day before, or how about today? How about tonight? How about tomorrow morning? Now. And what is there to get? Just that this is it. This is it. Your speech is it. Your hearing is it. Your seeing is it. Your breath is it. Your thoughts are it. Everything you see is it. This is it. Nothing mysterious, nothing hidden. It's here. You can't even awaken because you're already totally awake. Isn't that a joke? It's a total joke. And I hope you begin to laugh uproariously, excuse me, when you become aware of this. Fortunately, most of you laugh when you find out. What more can you do? You know, the perfect example, of course, is the Buddha, who tried all of the austerities, everything. You know, one grain of rice left and one sip of water a day. All day meditation. Finally, he just said, and I'm totally paraphrasing, he says, enough of this. I'm sitting down under this Bodhi tree and I'm not moving until I die or until I know. It's right here, finished. It's finished. And it was finished. Now, the trap of the mind says, yes, 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 but he was the Buddha. And he'd spent all those years wandering in the forest, being an ascetic and doing this. And so now, of course, there will always arise in the mind an idea that says, yes, but. That is the job of your ego, is to say, yes, but. Have you noticed? Please love me. Oh, I would, except. The yes, but. This is the time to end it. I want to say again, I am absolutely filled with gratitude to all of you who have kept on pursuing in the face of what you must experience as very little progress. But I also want you to know that now is the time. having nothing to do with anything that you created in your limited ego sense, but in a vast, magnificent, magnetic something. It's now, it's time, do it. Do it. And as the idea arises, I have to do thus, please ask yourself, do I really know what I'm doing, or am I just hoping? Am I just flailing around and making a choice that I hope is right? Am I just creating another idea, another separation, another way, another belief, another teacher, another book? With all due respect to the books, how much more books do you need to know only one thing? The first time we said, this is it, some people got very angry. You remember? That's wonderful. And I want you to be angry now. You cannot pitter-patter up the ladder because there is no heaven at the end of the ladder. Because it's all right there, right now. Any postponement, is simply that, the ego's postponement of the yes but. Is there any relief at all in you that you can't try anymore? Is there any part of you that relaxes, that you cannot will it, that you cannot create it, that you cannot purify into it? How are you going to purify into it? You have tried it all. You've given up this and given up that and given up the other. And then you join another group and they say, no, don't give up those things, give up these things. So instead of giving, so then you give them all up. And then so you continuously walk around. And the joke is the joke that it's all here and now. Do it. Do what? Do nothing. What do you mean do nothing? I don't know how to do nothing. I say, yes, I know you don't know how to do nothing. That's why you have to ask. Just quietly, no big speeches. Dear God, I have this long letter that I want to say to you that I don't know anything. God's response is instantaneous. We know that. We know that. You do not know the way to the truth and the light because it's right under your nose. Very wonderful person says, it's kind of like always chasing your nose. This chasing for God. Always chasing your nose. Please. Now. In this moment. Without anything added or taken away from. Awaken to what is. How do I awaken? You're already awake. Just shut up and pay attention. And you will see. And that which is will reveal itself. The self reveals itself without you doing anything. If you'll just start every moment hearing, breathing, seeing, speaking, walking, sitting, all of that being done in the state of now. It's now. It's here. Now. Show me your face now. Are there any questions that arise out of what we have just said? Yes.
I didn't come to that point where you try to get at things that you think you need to get at, like child abuse issues, the things that constantly crossfire in your life, and something happens where your emotions get caught up, and you just want to throw that all away. You get really tired of it. And I just speak on that. I don't really push it away. I've been experiencing some of my fears in my dreams. But something will happen that will spark a memory. And that stuck feeling.
Yes, of course. All right, let me repeat the question as best I can. If I paraphrase you, my good friend, I hope you don't mind. As you are wandering around your life, you bump into different things. You bump into, in this case, child abuse questions. You run into all kinds of thoughts and ideas, and you become almost overtaken by some difficult negative emotions and so forth that command your attention. My friends, look. There is absolutely nothing that you need to push away. If child abuse is rising, child abuse is rising. The difficulty with all of these ideas is that you believe that they are you. They believe that you are damaged. You believe that you have been hurt. You believe that you have to get well. You believe all of that. And please understand the point that I'm coming from when I say that is not the truth. That is the limited experience of yourself at the moment. But the moment that you begin to be, there comes a moment when those inner things compel you and you just follow them, Mr. Rocasse, as best you can. Do the best you can, get the best help, whatever you feel motivated. That's fine. But my point is quite different. My point is, I am hoping that in the midst of your most tremendous pain, there arises another scream that says, who am I? Who am I? I have been told by all the wise ones that I do not live and die, that the I never dies. Then what's all this business and all of this ever change? Something else is here in the midst of this. Yes, be the pain, feel it, experience it, work with it, dream about it. That's all fine. But eventually I want you to get ignited by you are asleep in the middle of this dream of being Tom. And there's something quite different here, and that's the scream about, I want to know what's really happening now, in the midst of my pain. And of course, pursue. You might as well pursue that as somebody else as a car mechanic, it's the same thing. You fix the car, you fix the psyche. My friends, excuse me, it's all the same thing. You all are busy fixing something. And so go ahead. But all I'm asking is those of you in this room who have ears to hear, will you hear that isn't going to make you happy. Finding out the solution to the dilemma of child abuse takes tremendous pressure off the psyche. It will not make you happy. It will not make you happy. Which brings us to the question that has to arise is, what is happening when you really get release from a difficulty? All right? Now, let us say that you are in dealing with abuse issues. And one day, one moment, in a magic moment, in some kind of therapeutic situation or outside, everything is clear and you relax, and you it's done. The desire to be healed has ended. I want to say something that you'll either get or you won't get. The desire to be healed has ended. You have stopped trying because now the desire is finished. You've done it. That feeling... is not because you have solved your dilemma, but because you have stopped trying to solve the dilemma. Because you have let go into the moment that says it's finished, and you relax and fall back into being. Now the trick is, the next moment, having solved that trouble, another trouble will arise. Well, now that I'm solved that problem, now yet another problem arises. And so then you solve that. Why do you think all of you like sex so much? You know, quite frankly, it brings you a lot of pain and suffering, doesn't it? But what is it about it that is so compelling? We would like to suggest that the thing about it that's so compelling is when it's over and it's finished and you're no longer trying and you simply explode and you let go. And you don't have to spend the rest of your lives in bed to have this thing work for you. Unless that's your way, go right ahead. But the moment that you understand what is it that brings a relief, what brings the peace? When you finish working on a problem, you figure out you've solved it, you breathe into it, and you feel what? Complete. No desire. It's done. You fall into, even for a moment, desirelessness. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to work at this. It's finished. Do you understand that feeling? Finished. Why do you think you love to go to bed and sleep? The definition of a good night's sleep is not, oh, I had 100 nightmares, I had a wonderful sleep. The definition of a good night's sleep is, I don't remember a thing about it. Nothing was there except no me. No problems. No property to sell. No life to create. No happiness to find. Nothing. A no-thing state arose, and I was totally, totally unaware. So, without meaning anything unfriendly at all, I just want to suggest that what you might be doing and might consider that you are doing is creating a lot of situations that are problematical, and when you solve them, you relax into the desireless state of, oh goody, I don't have to do anything anymore, until the next one comes again and again and again. I'm asking you to question whether you are looking in the wrong place for the happiness, which is, are you really sure that solving your problems is going to make you happy? Or are you instead going to create another set of very intricate problems to now focus upon, thinking that when you solve these problems, you will be happy? Ladies and gentlemen, problem solving doesn't make you happy. It creates more problem solving. If problem solving was the end all, then we would have great seminars on such. But that is not the way of it. You say, but my problem is so overwhelming. Well, the more overwhelming, the more it keeps your attention, the more you have to try. And as soon as you have completed it and get it, when you have a piece of property and all of a sudden it's sold and everybody's sold and you've got the money in your hand and it's not a check, but it's real money, and what do? Happiness. And you say, I'm happy because I sold my property. And I say, you're happy because you stopped trying. Yes, ma'am.
How can you stay in that particular desireless state?
Good question, Mitch. Question is, how do you stay there? Well, you don't stay there. You don't stay there. And you know this. You don't know how, so we're back to how. You have to realize that you don't know how. And guess what? You will never do it. It is not a you thing. It is a self thing. It is the wondrous capability of the self. Please, if I don't make this clear, Midge, state and we'll state it again. The wonderful capacity of the self, when you finally turn and look at it, all you have to do is be willing to drop and be, when you, it has of its own magnificence such a compelling auric field to it that you will in turn be more magnetized turning toward it than you are now interested in turning toward other things. But that does not come from you. That comes from the self. That comes from this magnificent thing that you just keep saying, I don't know, and just shut up and just in a moment. And it's a moment. Then there's another moment. And then another moment. We are talking about living moment after moment, aware that there is an alternative to mental thinking, just letting all the thoughts fall back into that, not blank emptiness, but just spacious something. If you just shut your eyes a moment, please, all of you. Shut your eyes a moment. Now, unless you are fooling yourself, you're probably not going to see anything. There's nothing. If you sit long enough and your ego gets active enough, then you can start seeing lights, and then you can see mountains and rivers and celestial beings. But I'm not interested in any of that. They die as well. In this moment of just being eyes shut, there is some emptiness here. No name, no form. No you, no them. There's emptiness. And if you're paying attention, there's no limits to it. There isn't a wall on your right and your left. It's just open emptiness. It's the no thing. It is closer than hands and feet. It is the breath within breath. And you can, with gentle sweetness, become aware of this. Not trying to be aware of it, but just to be aware. What is it? I mean, how hard do you have to try to see nothing when you shut your eyes? How hard is that? You don't say, oh, I have to get rid of all those thousands of things that I see so that I can see nothing. There is no thing. There is no thing. And it's immense. And there are no boundaries to it. And all of that emptiness is inside of you. Did you know that everything that you see is inside of you and it all fits? Let me say again. Do you know that everything that you see is inside of you and it all fits? And what do you see at night when you look at the skies? Immensity. And it all fits in you. How do you know? Because you see it. Do you really think it is these little pebbly-like round things that are seeing? Do you really believe that? People who do not have sight have a way of seeing that is quite different, but it is equally deep. They sense depth and vastness in some ways easier than the sighted. So the question arises, do you know how to see? Are you seeing? What are we saying? We are making a tremendously interesting statement, which is, are you seeing? Or is something seeing, and you are aware of it? So Midge, just the hearing that this whateverness is here, present, and that of your own power you cannot do anything, you will begin to push and pull with it, because this is the nature of the psyche and very much of yours. It's lovely. The thing that wants to know. And I'm hoping to ignite in you the last fight. We talk about the final frontier. This is the final frontier. How can you be aware of something without doing anything? How can you be aware of what is without trying to be what is? That is the final mantra. That is the final koan, that is the final question, and I present it to you today. And each of you, in your own way, will struggle with it. You will yell and scream and get mad and throw around and do whatever you do best, and good. But if you believe it with even a fragment of your being, then do it. Yes, ma'am.
I always was under the belief that we, there was some value of some sort to our existence. And there are beings on other levels to help us. And I find your message somewhat contradictory, but I'm sure there's some profound wisdom behind it.
You don't know that, do you? Do you hear the question? I'll rephrase it. Good. Good. She says that she has always believed that there was some value to our existence, you humans, and that there are beings on other levels who are helping us. Is that right? And now she's perplexed because this statement today seems to fly in the face of what she believes. And you want an answer. My friend, listen. You do not know, you, your lovely self, sitting in that chair. You do not know that your life has meaning. You do not know that there are beings on other levels that are helping you or could even care less of what you do. You do not know that there is some benevolent, marvelous life going on this planet. You don't know that. You hope it, you pray it, you think it, but you don't know it. So I'm only asking you to do one thing. I will tell you it is far easier for you to awaken to who you are than it is for you to connect with a higher being on another level, for you to figure out the function of this planet and why it's doing what it's doing. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why is the United States doing what it's doing? Then there's all those other people. That is very complicated. and it is all based on ideas and thoughts and beliefs. I don't want you to believe anything. I want you to know. And I want you to know who and what you are. And then all those questions will be answered in a moment. And you won't have to ask them. You will know if being is intrinsically worthwhile or just nonsense. You will know if this life of yours has meaning or not. You will know if there are other beings and if they are benevolent. You will know. But to sit here and speculate about this kind of thing, you're going to die. And you won't know. So I don't care. Speculate all you want. Are there other beings? Of course there are other beings. Are they benevolent? Of course they're benevolent. Now, does that help? It's all true. Is your life worth living? Absolutely. But that should not change a thing about you at this moment, because the only thing that you want and need this moment is to know, not about beings, but about you. Who are you? What are you? What's going on now? And the beings will do what they do. And they will be as they are. But you, lovely one, that's my worry. You. That's not even a word. But that is my intention. Now, the rest is speculation, beautiful speculation. But it's all ideas. You are my concern now. And because I know with the slightest amount of letting go, every one of you in this room could be fully knowing, I encourage you. And yes, I yell at you as well. Do you understand? Do you understand? You don't even have to like it. Just don't come again and do something else. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. This is just one windbag. You know, it doesn't matter. All I know is, if you spend time speculating on beings and not awaken, then it doesn't make your life happy. Whether you believe in beings or not, they will be there and do what they do. You see, your believing in benevolent beings doesn't make them do anything different. They will do what they do. And yes, they love you. And yes, they're benevolent. And yes, they will help. Yes, absolutely. However, what we want is now your knowing your benevolent being of you. Your ability to be totally, totally harmless. That's what we want. And that happens when you awaken. And awakening is your birthright. So we encourage you now. And will they help you? You couldn't do it without them. Yes.
Why is there the fear and reluctance on the part of the emotion?
Well, question, why would there be fear and reluctance on the part of the ego to accept this enlightenment? Look, you are all assuming that the ego is something very stationary, that has ideas and beliefs that are ongoing, that are dependable and reliable. And that is your overwhelming misconception. What the ego is a big bunch of ever-changing thoughts. That's it. Which have energy that hit the body. The physical body responds. Out of that hitting of the body in the physical, an emotion. Meaning, what is an emotion? An emotion is when thoughts hit the physical body, something shifts. You feel something. You call that an emotion. And then out of that, you either act or you don't act. Now, all of you are sitting around assuming that this ego is this great big thing that has definite ideas and plans, and it knows what it likes and it knows what it does like. Do you think that you know what you like and you don't like? Have you paid attention to the ever-shifting face of this ego? Half the time it says, I don't know anything. The other time it says, I'm the most intelligent thing on earth. The other time it says, it's constantly contradicting of itself. There is no consistent other. There's only one consistent something, and that is the thing that we're pointing you toward. There's only one consistent anything. And the ego is nothing but an ever-changing nothing. No big thing. You know, the ego is no big deal. It doesn't even consider itself consciously as an ongoing thing. There is no ego. How could I put it? There is no consistent ego mind. There is just an ever-changing bunch of stuff. Which is why, when you begin to look at it and look at your thoughts, you begin to realize, good heavens, I'm not my thoughts. How do I know? Well, because I'm looking at them. If I'm looking at my thoughts, well, then how can I be my thoughts? Because I'm looking at them. I'll give you another one. I am my body, you say. I say, all right, test that out. Just be quiet a moment and ask yourself, close your eyes and say, okay, am I this body? Am I this body? You begin to do this sweetly and gently, and you will realize that you are looking at your body. You are imaging your body. When you have your eyes shut, you can't even see it. You are imagining your body. Do you understand? You are making an image of something that you can't even see. My friends, this is a very tricky business. And when you realize that to say that the ego is fearful of its extinction is to give it a tremendous amount of intelligence it doesn't have. It isn't like that. Do you understand? You got it. I don't have to go on. Dr. Aiken, I would be pleased to answer any question of yours.
I don't know if I can talk enough to tell this or not, but many of you know when Dr. Young used to stand up here and go on about giving him money, and he gave to his full credit to the Argonne for. And then he lay in a nursing home for many weeks, not seeing, not hearing, not, and wanting to go with this, and feeling very, I don't know what. The night that before he left his body, they called and they said he wasn't so good. We went out to see him. And that night, before I left him, every time before when I left, he wanted to come and all this thing. And I stood up to say goodbye. And he had the most beautiful smile on his face, just as much as to say, it's all right. And I think that's what you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Doctor.
That night, in the night, they called and he was gone.
Yes.
And he'd seen it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. You could hear her, I hope. It's a very true statement. Because exactly as she saw it is how it was. That he quit trying, and he quit struggling, and he just let go. And in the letting go, he knew exactly who he was. You do not have to wait that long, ladies and gentlemen. Nor do you have to wait for that extremity. Although if that is your way, then that is your way. But I ask you to deeply consider what we have said today. And in whatever way that you can do this, this not doing, this stopping trying, this stopping to identify yourself as seeker, and stop identifying yourself in any way at all. Because if you identify yourself as a finder, then we have yet another word. Then what does a finder look like, and what does a finder say, and what color does a finder wear, and what kind of food does a finder eat, and where do they live, and can they live in the city, or do they have to live in the country? Then we have now arisen a whole other identity as finder. You are none of the identities that you presume yourself to be, and I ask you to consider letting go and letting the self, the deep, vast, ever-present being, to reveal itself so that you know. And in that you will know. Will you know anything? No. And will you care? No. You will be it. You will not know it, because no means I know something. I know something, two things. You will not know anything, but you will know. So, I thank you for your patience and your attention. And those of you who wish to sit around and do nothing with us for 10 minutes afterwards, I encourage you. Thank you.